Wobble-free low-end masterclass for modern control with vintage tone. Advanced Ableton live lesson for drum and bass bass lines. All right, let's get surgical about low-end. In drum and bass, especially rollers and anything with fast repeating bass notes, the wobble problem is rarely the cool musical wobble you wanted. It's the annoying kind. The sub gets louder on some notes, quieter on others, and on a big system it feels like the entire track is leaning side to side. Today we're fixing that by design. Here's the core idea that will change your results. We're going to build one sub that is boring on purpose. Mono, phase stable, consistent from note to note. Then we'll build a completely separate mid layer where all the vintage attitude lives. Saturation, amplified, reese movement, a little width, and controlled modulation. The layers are disciplined, and the crossover is treated like a no-fly zone. That's how you get modern control with vintage tone. Before we touch a synth, do a quick session setup so your routing supports the goal. Set your tempo in the 170 to 176 BPM range. Create a drums group and a bass group. Inside bass, you'll have a SUB track, MID track, and optionally a TOP or character track if you want extra bite. For gain staging, keep each bass layer peaking roughly around minus 12 to minus 8 dBFS, and leave headroom on the master. If your master is already flirting with zero, you're going to solve problems by accident with clipping, and the low end will lie to you. Now, step 1. The sub. This is the wobble-free anchor. Create a new MIDI track called SUB. Load wave-eatable. In oscillator 1, choose basic shapes, and set it to a sine. If you want a tiny hint more harmonic information, triangle is okay, but start with sine for maximum stability. Turn unison off. Turn warp off. Keep it simple. Set voices to 1. And honestly, keep the filter off. The goal is not flavor here. The goal is truth. Now build the sub-processing chain, stock devices, in this order. First, EQ8. Put a high-pass filter around 20 to 25 Hz. That's just cleaning rumble and useless subsonic energy that eats headroom. If your kick needs a little space, you can try a very gentle dip somewhere around 60 to 90 Hz, but I want you to treat sub-EQ like a scalpel, not a paint roller. 1 or 2 dB moves. That's it. Second, add saturator. This is where we sneak in a little vintage glue without smearing the sub. Use soft sine mode or go analog clip if you're disciplined. Drive around 1 to 3 dB. Turn soft clip on. And then match the output so you're not tricking yourself with loudness. The reason we do this on the sub, lightly, is translation. A touch of harmonics helps smaller speakers tell you the sub exists, without you needing to crank the mid layer into money territory. Third, add utility. Set widths to 0%. Hard mono. If your version of live has bass mono, set that to around 120 Hz as an extra safety net. Now your sub is centered and unarguable. Next, the most critical part. Making the sub stable note to note. When subs wobble, it's often not some mysterious phase curse. It's amplitude wobble. Different velocities, inconsistent note lengths, pitch glide, envelopes that change the transient, or a release that's too long so notes smear into each other. So, in your MIDI clip, make velocities consistent. Pick something like 100 to 110 and keep it there. In Wave-Eatable's amp envelope, keep attack very short, like 0 to 5 milliseconds. Release around 30 to 80 milliseconds, enough to avoid clicks, not enough to smear rhythm, and keep sustain at a stable level for held notes. The sub should behave like a steady machine. And here's a rule for today, do not modulate the sub with LFOs. No filter wobble, no unison movement, no chorus, no cue tricks. Movement belongs above the crossover. Now step 2, the MID bass. This is where we earn the vintage tone without destabilizing the foundation. Create a new MIDI track called MID. For the sound source, you can go wave-eatable for a modern fast resetup. Saw on oscillator 1, saw on oscillator 2. Slight detune. Add a little classic unison, but keep it modest. Think 10 to 20% amount, not a super saw festival. If you want a more old-school flavor, operator is great. A saw or square bass can feel a bit more direct. You can also layer two operators for a thicker old DNB vibe, but keep the concept the same. This layer is allowed to have character, but it must not fight the sub down low. Now put your MID processing chain on, and listen carefully because this is where crossover discipline starts. First, EQ8. High pass the MID at about 90 to 110 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. This is not about making it thin. It's about creating a clear job description. Sub owns the fundamentals, mid owns the tone. If the sound gets boxy, you can notch a couple dB around 200 to 300 Hz, but do it only if it's truly clouding the mix. Quick coach note, Don't think only in hertz, think in note fundamentals. If your subline goes low, like the lowest note in your tune is, say, F at about 43.7 Hz, you need to make sure the mid high pass is high enough that it is not reinforcing that fundamental or the next important low harmonic in a way that changes note to note. Your crossover is a strategy, not a habit. Next, add saturator on the mid. Now we can lean in. Analog clip. Drive maybe 3 to 8 dB depending on the sound. Soft clip on. And if you enable color, make tiny moves. Like, tiny. The fastest way to lose clarity is to do big exciting saturation moves in the low mids without checking the consequences. After that, add amp for that vintage grit. Try rock or bass. Keep the gain moderate. We want texture, not a flattened square wave that eats all dynamics. Use presence to bring it forward if needed. Now add auto filter for controlled movement. Low pass 12 or low pass 24. Add a little drive if it helps. Keep envelope subtle. Then add an LFO sync to tempo. Classic DNB movement rates are 1/8 or 1/4, but keep the amount small. You want motion, not seasickness. And remember, you're creating perceived movement while the sub stays locked like concrete. Finally, utility on the mid. Width can be 80 to 120%, but be careful. Widening the low mids is where tracks get impressive in stereo and embarrassing in mono. If you have bass mono, use it so anything under 120 Hz stays centered. Optional step 3. A top or character layer. This is where you can safely add bite, grit, and stereo feel without risking the sub. You can duplicate the mid and then EQ it aggressively. High pass somewhere around 300 to 500 Hz with a steep slope. Now you're playing in a safer zone. Add redux very lightly for texture. Add chorus ensemble carefully, and always keep the lows filtered out. Then utility, width maybe 120 to 160%. And you'll do mono checks constantly, because wide top bass can still mess with perceived punch if it collapses weirdly. Now step 4. Glue everything inside a bass group. With crossover discipline, group sub, mid, and team op into bass. On the bass group, put EQ8 first with a high pass at 20 Hz, just as safety. Then add glue compressor, but very gentle. Attack 10 to 30 milliseconds, release on auto, ratio 2 to 1. You're aiming for 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction max. This is cohesion, not destruction. If you need a limiter, use it as a seatbelt for rogue peaks, not as the engine. If you're relying on a limiter for your low end to feel controlled, that's usually a sign your layers are fighting. Now step 5, the kick and sub relationship. This is where a lot of wobble is actually just masking. Choose your philosophy. Either the sub sits under the kick, common in rollers, or the kick owns the very lowest fundamental for a punchy dance floor feel, or you split by note selection, where sub hits in the gaps. There's no correct choice, but there is a requirement. Decide intentionally. For clean, transparent sidechain, put a compressor on the sub track. Sidechain input from the kick. Ratio 2 to 1 up to 4 to 1. Attack fast, like 0.5 to 3 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. But here's the trick. Adjust release so it breathes with a groove. If the sub feels like it's gasping or it never fully returns, the release is wrong. Set the threshold so you're getting about 1 to 3 dB of ducking. Enough to make room, not enough to remove weight. If you want a more modern shaped pump, use a volume shaper approach, automation, or a rack with modulation. But whatever you do, don't sidechain by visuals alone. Use your ears in context with drums. Now step 6, phase sanity checks. This is where wobble dies. First check, mono. Temporarily put utility on the master and set width to 0. If the bass collapses, vanishes, or the groove suddenly feels different, you've got stereo or phase issues in the low mids. Back off chorus, unison, or widening. Or move that width higher up into the TOP layer. Second check, spectrum. Put spectrum on the sub and also on the bass group. Watch the sub fundamental. You want consistency, not random dips and spikes as notes change. And listen too, because spectrum will tell you everything about punch. Third check, the crossover check. Mute mid and top. Listen to the sub alone. If it doesn't feel steady and even across notes, fix the sub source, velocities, and envelope before you touch anything else. A stable sub soloed should feel almost boring. That's success. Fourth check. Advanced but huge. Latency and fake phase problems. Sometimes it's not phase cancellation from the sound. It's your processing chain shifting one layer later than the other. Heavy look ahead. Oversampling behavior, or certain devices can do this. Quick test, Bypass heavy devices on MID or freeze and flatten the MID temporarily. If the low end suddenly tightens, you found the culprit. Rebuild the tone with lower latency tools or resample the character layer to audio so it becomes stable. Now I want you to set up a monitoring hack that pros use all the time, a sub-truth chain. On your master, create an audio effect rack you can toggle. Chain A is normal monitoring. Chain B is utility width at 0, then EQ8 low pass around 120 Hz. Now, with one click, you're hearing only the mono low end. This makes problems obvious early, before you commit to a mix that only works in your room. Another move that's almost always worth it: micro fade-ins on sub clips. If you hear clicks at note starts, instead of changing the amp envelope and accidentally changing your punch and consistency, resample the sub, then add tiny clip fades, like 1 to 5 milliseconds. Click gone, sub behavior preserved. Now step 7, arrangement moves for rolling D and B, because stability is also musical planning. Try thinking in 8 to 16 bar phrases. Bar is 1 to 4, sub plus mid, minimal movement. Bar is 5 to 8. Increase mid motion by turning up the auto filter LFO amount, not by turning up the sub. Bar is 9 to 12. Drop the TOP layer for contrast, darker and more focused. Bar is 13 to 16. Bring TOP back and add a call and response fill. Classic roller trick: keep the sub pattern simple and repetitive. Let the mid do the talking with rhythmic modulation and occasional pitch jumps. The crowd feels the bass evolving, but the system feels stable. Now, quick common mistakes to avoid. Number 1. Modulating the sub with LFO, filter, unison, chorus. That's the fastest path to instability. Number 2. Stereo information in the sub range. Even a tiny chorus can wreck translation. Mono the sub, always. Number 3. Oversaturating the sub. Too much drive makes uncontrolled harmonics and mud in the low mids. Number 4. Crossover sloppiness. If both sub and mid have meaningful energy in the 70 to 120 zone, they will fight and the listener perceives wobble, even if your sub is technically fine. Number 5. Sidechain set by a preset. The duck should match the groove. Now let's push into advanced variations for modern control. This audio version is shortened for playback.